Jimmy, Sean B wants to know what was going through your mind when the Jamaican government shot at your plane?
Ducking.
Ducking.
There's two rules in rock and roll I've found. Never forget to duck and never forget it can go to hell at any minute now. But yes, ducking came in handy that day.
They thought you had tremendous amounts of
weed
on your plane?
They did, and all I had on was Bono.
Oh, no. Bono was on
Bono
board?
Bono was on the plane.
Wow. Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians defend music that people give them shit about liking. I am, of course, Tom Tikar, the Wolf of Dog Street. I'm joined for another week by the Prince of Snarkness, the Boy Who Cried, Wolf of Dog Street, Tommy McNamara. How are you, buddy? You
know, the Bono to your Jimmy Buffett. He really throws Bono under the bus.
Yeah, all we had was him.
And this is, of course, Tony Deo. We're very excited to have on the show.
Super excited.
Guys?
How are you, buddy?
Good.
Thanks for making the trek from Astoria.
In the rain.
It's a rainy day. Yeah. It's rough out there. It's pretty gross. But we appreciate it because it's not a good weather day to talk about this. We're talking Jimmy Buffett, baby.
We should have gone out to Jones Beach.
Yes.
Put up an umbrella and done that like a remote podcast.
I almost went and got margaritas for us, but I felt like these spike seltzers would be the healthier version.
I literally have some in my fridge.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Damn, that would have been good.
I was on a flight with my wife. We were actually going to Vegas a couple months ago. And we got margaritas on the flight, and they just have the little mixer or whatever, but it was really good, so I bought like a case of it.
Hell yeah. Love it.
I can't believe I didn't think to bring it.
I'm a margarita boy, so I would have, it's appreciated, but these spiked seltzers, they're a little healthier.
Yes.
We need to get them sponsoring us, these spiked seltzers.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What's the podcast protocol in that? Do you just start saying their name?
We want to thank this week we're brought to you by Bon and Viv.
You might notice my tattoo that says Bon and Viv on my forehead. We should put get off this topic, we need to play this up because I first found out about this story. My friend Colin Crawford tweeted about it, and I was so blown away by the fact that Jamaican police shot at Jimmy Buffett's plane while Bono was on it.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a song about it.
A pretty good tune.
Which is called
Jamaica Mistake,
which is the funniest name in the world. So we're going to listen to it.
Is it on Spotify?
It's got to be.
Yeah. Yes, I was listening to it earlier. It's okay. We skipped like a minute in. And he wrote it from the point of view of the Jamaican government, which I thought was interesting.
Yes. Yeah, with the apologizing. Yeah.
He wrote a song of them apologizing to him.
Right. Because he feels like that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Oh, this is on Banana Wind, right? Yeah.
That's right, Banana Wind.
Every now and then, the dragons come to call. Just when you least expect it, you'll be dodging cannonballs. I've seen too much not to stay in touch with a world made of love and luck. I got a big suspicion about ammunition. I never forget to duck. Come back, come back, back to Jamaica. Don't you know we made a big mistake?
That's it's the best idea is if you want someone to apologize to you, you just write a song where they do it.
I'm doing that. I'm making a song called
Point of View.
It's called Tom, I'm Sorry from the Perspective of Tommy, and it's I should have paid you more for hosting my album recording. I didn't give you a fair amount.
You didn't like the Venmo payment, which I did find concerning. And I thought $30 for two shows was good.
Yeah.
Took up your whole damn night. Made you go and go and give the light. The venue offered, but I said Tom can do it.
They were going to pay him extra, but I said, no, he's a friend of mine. Don't worry about it.
I think we got a hit.
Yeah. Good thing we're recording this.
Oh, boy. So what is your background with Jimmy Buffett?
So I had a roommate in college that introduced me to Jimmy Buffett, and that's when I started listening. But that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. We won't get into my age.
Like 2013, what are we talking about?
You want to really know?
I'd love to know.
Yeah, okay. So this kind of goes into the story I was just telling Tommy, but I started college in 91.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I wanted to do this podcast when you did the Dave Matthews Band, because I grew up an hour from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Yes.
And I started college the year they became a band. So they were playing frat parties at my college. And the oldest known video of them as a band is at my college.
No way.
In this little tiny, like, it's not even an auditorium. It was like a multi-purpose room.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a, yeah.
Who do we have to do, Dave Matt? Let's delete that episode. We'll just start a new one.
You know what's funny is I saw it later, and it was Patrick Monahan. I'm like, the lead singer of Train came in and did it. Like, no wonder they wouldn't have me. And then I found out it was just some other schmo named Patrick Monahan.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Hey, he's a great guy.
He's a good friend. He's a good man.
I'm sure he is.
How was Dave Matthews that early? Were they electric? Was there magic?
Yeah, it was. And there was something about it that you knew that, like, that they would be big. Like, they
really?
Were huge. Mm-hmm. I went to James Madison University, and they were huge on campus. And this was so long. Were you ever aware of Magic Eye posters?
Oh, yeah, of course. They were in dentist offices.
Yeah, you had to look at them.
I loved them.
Yeah, and the cover there first, I think it was, like, sort of self-released, was Remember Two Things. It was just them holding up. Like, it was a hand holding up two fingers, but you had to blur your eyes to see it.
Everybody
had those everywhere.
The pride that I felt about getting those, like, getting good at those.
Yeah, when you finally figured
so
out.
So sad. It's like, oh, you don't get it.
Talent.
Maybe someday.
Yeah,
I had, like, the books and stuff. I didn't know that they had an album cover that was like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was called Remember Two Things. It's great. Yeah.
What were the two things?
You know what? I don't know that they ever mentioned it. I should go back.
That's classic Dave right there.
Yeah, classic Dave.
Damn. I am curious what they are.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we'll figure it out someday. But, yeah, so that sort of music, did that, like, you were just into this type of music when you were younger?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very collegey. It makes sense.
It was super collegey.
Yeah.
And I think it came out the exact same year as Pearl Jam's 10. Mm-hmm. So if you were at a party, they were playing Dave Matthews or Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, fun time to be in college. They turned out to be great bands. But my college roommate had a, like, Jimmy Buffett Songs You Know by Heart, which is, like, 12 songs I can't listen to anymore because you hear them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the only thing people play when they talk about Buffett.
I think he's
a phenomenal musician.
I think we should just get people in the Jimmy Buffett mode by hearing one of those, like, at least one of those songs.
Anyway.
Or maybe just a quick medley.
We'll do a quick,
yeah, so these are the songs that we're talking about here. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Jackson.
That's a new one.
Oh, wait, this is the Alan. Oh, yeah, never mind. This is a newer one, but this
that
is.
That was one of the newest songs he's come. But we're talking about Cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah, we're
Paradise.
Talking about Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Margarita.
I just clicked on the first one that was on here.
Yeah, Finn's.
So this is Cheeseburger in Paradise. Fins.
Yeah.
This is the Dolphins. Like,
people
they play
are going to be so mad at how quickly you got out of Margarita.
They'll live. You've got a lot of shit to do.
Don't even resolve the chorus.
Fuck the chorus. They know it. Yeah. What are they, children?
Yeah. It's a 1, 4, 5, and then a 1. That's where we're headed.
That was Finn's.
God damn it. Looking for some peace and quiet. Hope to see the sun again. But now she lives down by the ocean. She's taking care to look for sharks. They hang out in the local bar and they feed right after dark. Can't you feel them circling, honey? Can't you feel them swimming around? You got fins to the left, fins to the right, and you're the only bait in town. It's a terrifying song.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds very ominous and scary. Fins to the left and fins and right.
And when she's talking about seeing the sun again, her son was kidnapped.
Right. Yeah. And if you want him back, you're going to have to go home from this bar with me.
I've been using that line
starring
for
Liam Neeson.
I will say what I love about Cheeseburger in Paradise is it sounds like a Weird Al parody, but it is the right. original song. Yes.
A rare thing to happen.
Yeah. That's probably every song on that Songs You Know by Heart. It sounds like a parody.
I want to hear, I don't even know this song.
The good thing, though, like, I think he knows, like, a lot of this is sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Totally.
Yeah.
He knows he's being silly and funny.
Sure.
And, yeah.
I want to hear, there's a song on here, I believe that's just called Let's Get Drunk. Or,
oh, yeah,
or
is it
is. On? Oh, Why Don't We Get Drunk. Yeah, I just want to hear a little bit of this real fast.
He stopped playing it.
I think I know this, actually.
Our maid bring a pitcher. Another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk and screw?
Yep. I knew that.
Is there like a dramatic reason why he stopped?
I think just probably at some point he saw, you know, a bunch of kids coming to the shows and things, and you're like, all right.
Right.
You know, I had kids once. You know,
yeah.
You gotta.
Sure.
But yeah, I was looking it up, and he said there's like 12 songs he has to play at every concert. Or people will murder him.
Yeah.
And that used to be one of them, but he stopped playing.
Wow.
It.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Man, what a hell that he's created for
kind
himself.
Of, yeah. When I've probably seen maybe 10 of his concerts over the years.
Oh, wow.
And they used to do a fun thing because he's released 30 albums over his career.
Jesus.
Wow.
It's insane.
And if he doesn't put three of those songs on every one of the albums, people fucking try to kill him.
Yeah. But he used to play a game called Stump the Reefers because his band's called the Coral Reefer Band.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just have people shout out a tune from any of the
oh my God.
30 albums he's done. And like they won a prize or whatever. But I never saw them miss it. They
wow.
didn't miss a note. They're crazy good at it.
That is so that's been his band the whole time?
Yeah. But the thing is, like, it's one of those things where most of them stay the same. Like there's a guy, Mac McAnally, who played guitar with them, and I think Robert Greenwich is the steel pan player. He's been with them forever. But it's the type of band you can pull people out and put people in, and no one really notices except
right.
for maybe Mac McAnally.
Yeah, people say that about this podcast.
Yeah.
Either one of us could go at any point.
Right, you just pop another guy in Tommy's seat and, you know.
Hey.
Wait, why is this a dynamic?
Yeah.
Tony, it was a coin toss. Tommy, it almost works.
I will say it's probably easier to remember all the songs when they're all three chords. I think
right.
that helps.
Damn. Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? That's the crazy thing to me is, like, when I was in college, I started listening to I don't know if we'll call them deep cuts from Buffett catalog.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, and I was learning to play guitar at the time, and there's some really, like, one of the tunes I put on the playlist mm-hmm. is in a really wacky key.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really tough to play. So I think he's a pretty great musician, but the things that people kind of rallied around were the 1-4-5-1 songs. Yeah.
Which song are we talking here?
12 Volt Man. It's in like F
12
sharp.
Volt Man.
Yeah. And it's a it's a beach ballad. So I'm sorry we're starting off with a.
Wait, is this not working? Did I screw it up? There it is.
There we go.
I never got a grip on penmanship. Could never make the small L's flow. Seldom found the trick to arithmetic. 3+2=4. But ask for some palm trees
are tales from the South Seas, and I just might turn your head. I never had the clout to knock one out, but hitting was the name of my game. Standing on third as the coaches conferred, close to my first claim to fame. Just give me the steel sign and I'll make home late mine, and I just might turn somehow. Sometimes I may
so such a baseball fan.
Yeah.
Baseball man.
I think he's a Cubs fan.
Is he really?
Oh, you're just trying
so.
To fucking...
I'm not, no, actually,
we know what you're doing.
No, I did see your Cubs things in here.
I'm wearing a Cubs shirt right now.
I think he is.
My best friend who I was just talking to on the phone, one of my best friends, he said he saw them at Wrigley Field, and they turned kind of Wrigleyville into like every single bar in Wrigleyville turns into like a Hawaiian bar for that night.
And
like,
that's cool.
Just, yeah, it's supposed to be like very fun when he's in town.
Yeah, that's one of his live albums was live from Wrigley.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, so right. I think that might be right.
It could be.
Or maybe he just wore like a Cubs jersey when he did the concert. Yeah. That's what I'm remembering.
What kind of, where have you seen him at? Like, what was it? What kind of venues was it?
I used to see him in Virginia a lot.
Okay.
So probably Nissan Pavilion. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen him at Jones Beach.
That's what he does when he comes to New York. Is that
I
kind
think
of the classic?
So, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We should go.
Yeah.
I
heard he's a struggling artist.
Yeah, you gotta support the mom and pop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he's down to two private jets.
One of them got shot down.
What are the other fans like when you go to these shows?
It's like when I made the playlist, I put some live tunes in there because that's kind of the thing.
Uh-huh.
Just to go to these concerts and to tailgate. They're insane.
Yeah.
It's a crazy
the parrot
scene.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
The parrot head. And people, you know, put shark fins on their cars.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
You know, I like a girl who gives that parrot head.
That parrot head.
You know? They sit and repeat everything you say. I ask, well, partially because obviously there's a reputation amongst the fans at a Jimmy Buffett show.
Yeah.
But I found this article that I love from the Boston Magazine. It says, the headline is, Mansfield Police to Jimmy Buffett Fans, Buckets Aren't Toilets.
So speak on that.
There's like several pictures of buckets with toilet seats on them.
Isn't that every tailgating scene, though?
See, no.
No?
Well, Dave Matthews, for sure.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's one of the two things he wanted you to remember. The buckets aren't toilets.
And then you take them, you dump them in a river.
Yeah. Don't dump them in the Chicago River.
Yeah, it makes sure a boat's going underneath when you do that.
Let's see. I found some song facts about 12 Volt Man, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Nesmith, a member of the Monkees, once told Buffett about a man he ran into down in Baja who is the unknown inspiration for this song. During the Baja race, Mike broke down in the middle of nowhere and went to a small village to wait for his repair team. He ran into an American, a fisherman who lived in a small hut with what he called the essentials. A shit bucket and a
bucket with a toilet seat on it.
He had a collection of Buffett's albums, packaged margarita mix from America, an old wearing blender, and a tape recorder hooked up to a peculiar power system made out of a Honda generator and a Sears diehard battery. It seems he would fish all week, and on Friday nights, he and his friends would hook up the blender and tape player and make margaritas while they sang along to Buffett songs. The ceremony would last until the gas for the generator dried up. What a bad way to use a generator.
Or the greatest way to use a generator.
People use generators to keep hospitals.
Not this guy.
I like how it says the Baja race, as if anyone would know the Baja race.
Oh, you didn't enter this year into the Baja race?
I missed the deadline by a day.
Buffett has said on many occasions that this is one of his favorite songs.
Mm. Yeah, one of mine too.
Yeah, it was a nice little ditty.
Yeah,
I'll say up top that I didn't know any of the songs you picked.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Right,
I know the hits.
That was sort of my goal coming in here, is to pick a bunch of things no one had ever heard, and you could listen and go, oh, that dude's not that bad.
He's more talented than you think.
Yeah, he is very talented.
What is your background with the Buff Man?
I just knew the hits, and I enjoyed them. I have fun. It definitely reminds me of being like a freshman in college. I had a period where I would, people call me Tommy Vacation, because I'd put on a Hawaiian shirt, and I wouldn't go to class for a couple days and just get drunk. And this music is kind of emblematic of that
time. I wish that was my story.
Tommy still does that. Every once in a while, he just doesn't call into work. I just come home, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Got a generator in the apartment.
Yeah.
We have electricity, Tommy.
Doesn't matter. It's not the way it's done. Tastes better when I run it off the generator.
Boy. I was really into, I think I was into Margaritaville when it was right up my alley. A sad man who a woman had left in some way and who he knew he'd done wrong.
Well, there's some nice accountability in there.
That's true. A lot of people don't give him credit for that. Some people say there's a woman to blame. Who's saying that?
But in Jamaica Mistake, he fully blames the Jamaican government.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He should
and apologizes for them.
That's maybe what that Margaritaville is about too. Is like really, it's the perspective of like somebody else who's like, some people say it's a woman to blame, but it's his own damn fault. And the guy who it's about is like, what the fuck? It was a woman to blame. Yeah. She stole my car.
I told you the whole story twice.
Drink your margarita, bitch. I was into that. They opened a cheeseburger in Paradise in my hometown in Bloomington.
Did you go?
I did, and I didn't know that it was connected to the song. I had no idea about the song. I knew the food before I knew the song, and I wonder
what the difference
overrated.
Is because they have Margaritaville.
That's a restaurant chain, yeah.
Yes.
And what's the difference between that and the cheeseburger in Paradise?
Well, I think let's look at the menus.
It's our famous segment. Let's look at the menus.
Let's go to the menus. Because I don't know, actually. I was about to answer that I have a feeling one is very margarita themed and one is very burger themed.
While you looked that up, were you aware of the Jimmy Buffett musical that was running recently?
Yeah. We're talking about. This is probably 20 years ago, right?
No, there's a recent run called, I believe it's called Escape to Margaritaville.
It's either Escape to or From Margaritaville.
From sounds like it wouldn't be.
No,
they should
I didn't
make
know that
From.
There was one he did back in like 98 called
Watch Out for 9/11.
It's coming. Yeah, it wasn't really successful. Is it Don't Stop the Carnival?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
The recent one was running in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And I know because my family went to it. I was not there, but my mom and my sisters went, so I texted them kind of asking for their thoughts.
Did they like it?
They all loved it, which I was surprised
by.
That's
funny.
But I my mom was complimenting it and also said it reminded me of the 8th grade plays from our school, which is not a compliment.
No.
But then so I asked, like, what happens in it, and she said, a sing-along to Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw.
Oh,
there's a buried treasure, there's a volcano eruption, and a fiancé who controls his future bride eating, so she rebels by eating a cheeseburger, which is how they get into Cheeseburger in Paradise, and then dumps him. The characters were all trashed in most of the scenes. My sister said she loved it, and then my other sister didn't say anything, and I said... Your silence is deafening, and she said, all I remember is loving it. So she might have been drunk, too.
I have a feeling your family was hammered. Yep. Yeah. This is not a good...
I don't think they let you in if you're not.
Yeah. That was like... who was the... who's the comic that just did this Netflix special for drummers where you had to...
Fred Armisen.
Yeah, Armisen.
Oh,
and you had to play like a drum before you went in.
Was that what they did?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. In the intro, it shows everybody playing a little drum pad. But for the margarita
really
thing,
funny.
They get hammered on margaritas before they allow you into the theater.
I'm looking at menus here.
I feel like we're trying to decide where to go to eat tonight.
I would love if we went to one of these restaurants. I will say I always wanted to like Cheeseburger in Paradise more than I did, and it was a little overpriced, especially for Indiana. It's like $17 for a burger or something like that, or maybe it was 14, but it was like one of those places where the sides weren't included or something.
Right. I hate that.
It drives me insane. The first time I encountered that, I was like, check, please.
Is that what you said?
And
hopefully
put
with
fries
that intonation.
Yeah, it's very burger heavy. We have wings at Cheeseburger in Paradise. We have nachos, fajitas. It's a lot.
Yeah.
They also have Mai Tais. I don't know if they have margaritas at all on this menu. Maybe that's the difference. I'm seeing.
Is it possible this is not Jimmy Buffett associated?
Like, oh, it's got to be.
The unauthorized stuff?
It's got
to
be.
I mean, you would think he owns the copyright to Cheeseburger in Paradise.
He must.
Right?
He must have. Okay, let's look that up.
But why
as
wouldn't
well.
They just call them all Margaritaville?
That's a good. Fuck.
We should have done more research.
Oh, no. This podcast sucks. We don't know shit.
Why wouldn't they call them all just margaritas?
I would have gotten more fucking royalties. Let's see here. Damn it.
Have you been to a Margaritaville?
Yeah, I have.
Did you enjoy it?
Fairly recently, actually. Shockingly recently. Within the last 3 months.
Oh, shit. That is
Yeah, we went to vacation down in Myrtle Beach, and we went to go, like, they have this, I think it's called Boardwalk on the Beach, but I don't think it's on the beach.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
But they had a Margaritaville. They were like, hey, this looks fun. Let's do this.
It was a good time.
My God. Sorry.
What do we got?
I found this is crazy to me, but your theories were correct. You had a hunch and you were right. Cheeseburger in Paradise was a casual dining restaurant chain in the U.S., but is now a single restaurant in Secaucus, New Jersey. The first one opened in 2002 in Indianapolis as a theme restaurant for the song Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yeah.
The chain was a partnership of Buffett's company based Margarita Holdings. With the licensing, let's see here. Oh, somewhere it said that he has nothing to do with it. God damn it. In September 2009, Cheeseburger in Paradise was sold to Paradise Restaurants LLC. Jimmy Buffett was only a royalty partner, receiving 2% of profits until selling Paradise Restaurant Group the rights to the song Cheeseburger in Paradise. Somewhere in here it said that he sued them. But I'm not seeing where.
It's funny to picture Jimmy Buffett's lawyer. He's got like a lei around his suit. Lei.
Shows up in flip flops and a swimsuit.
I read the. It was on the short like thing.
Yeah.
But it says there was another restaurant chain named Cheeseburger Restaurants in California, and they named They named one of their restaurants Cheeseburger Paradise, and he sued them. This one restaurant.
Wow. Bold move.
The balls on that place.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, I think it just failed because it sucked.
Right.
The one in Indiana did not. It wasn't very busy. Let's see Margaritaville, what we got here.
Yeah, those places are murdering it.
It looks like it's pretty similar. They have chicken fajitas.
The
they're not big. Oh, they have burgers in Paradise.
Of course they do.
It's the same goddamn thing. I feel like a real fool for having even spent any time on this. But we learned a lot here.
Let's get drunk and chew. Huh? Is that something?
That's good. You should open that restaurant.
Should we listen to another tune?
Let's hear Stars on the Water.
You know what?
Should I skip it? I will say, you sent us 8 songs. We normally do 6.
Yes.
So any that you're feeling like cutting.
We're going to have to cut this one because it's actually a George Strait song.
I love George Strait, by the way.
Let's
Tommy,
listen to
you
it
know
anyway.
George Strait?
I know who he is. I don't...
Oh, I'm a big George Strait fan.
This is a great tune.
Oh, yeah. I know this song. I'm going to skip forward a little bit.
Strike that from the record.
That doesn't count.
Yeah,
you didn't
there was
hear it.
One lyric I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how picky we were going to get about defending my music. So I'm like, I better know what this dude's saying. And I looked up the lyrics and said, you know, by George Strait. I'm like, oh, man, I got to pull
Damn.
That one out of the rotation.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm a big, I mean, I don't stand by him now, but when I was a kid, I used to love George Strait. I don't know. Yeah, I was a big country boy back in the day.
The cool thing with Buffett, too, is because he's, you know, he's 72 years old. He's been making music since he was 20.
Mm-hmm.
He started out in Nashville. So if you go back to the early albums, there's a very, like, country sound to it. Like, Great Filling Station, Hold Up. has a very, like, almost twang. His voice is different.
I pulled into the regular pump. I was feeling quite at ease. I rolled out my window and told the man 50 cents worth, please. Then I jumped my partner with his trusty pellet gun. I said, boy, this is a hold up. Keep a pumping and don't run. And now I wish I was somewhere other than here. Down in some honky tonk, sipping on a beer. Yes, I wish I was somewhere other than here. Because that great filling station hold up cost me 2 good years. We got $15.
I was definitely surprised by this song when I was doing the playlist.
Yeah.
I guess I knew he was kind of country adjacent from like the Alan Jackson pairing that I'd heard.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. And he has like an early album. I think it's even called Before the Beach that I think got released later, but it was recorded in Nashville.
Mm.
But it's just has nothing to do with the beach or anything. And then he sort of became this Caribbean rock, beach rock sort of dude.
Yeah. Well, I like the I'm a fan of that type of country.
Yeah,
like a storytelling. Like,
yeah,
it's a fun.
He has so many songs that are stories.
Yeah,
One called "The Captain and the Kid." He talks about his grandfather getting older. He was a captain on a boat.
We may have listened to that at the live one. So we did a live episode in Indiana where Jonas Schroedt defended it, but we didn't get the tape of it.
Gotcha.
But we heard a couple of these songs where I was like surprised.
Yeah,
to hear
a lot of
that
stories.
He had a different style to him.
There's another. I like it's another ballad, but "When the Coast is Clear,"
okay,
which is on the list.
When the coast is clear, this
and
is
it's
from
a guy
Florida
talking
days.
About he lives like at a beach town and in like September when all the crowds go away and
they're closing down the hangout.
It's way too sad.
It's a little. But he talks about when he gets like to like listen to himself again when he gets to think.
Yeah.
The kids are back in school. The tourist traps are empty. Vacancy abound. Almost like it used to be before the circus came to town. That's when it always happens, same time every year. I come down to talk to me when the coast is clear. Hello, Mr. Other Me. Been a long, long time. We hardly get to have these chats. That in itself's a crime. So tell me all your trouble. I'll surely tell you mine. We'll laugh and smoke and curse and joke and have a glass of wine. That's where it always happens, the same place every year.
Did you hear that string section?
Yeah, I like the string.
Oh, man. Don't put strings in their songs anymore.
Get the strings back. Give us a string.
He did a different version of that. He had done a fundraiser when the BP oil spill happened in the Gulf. He did a big giant concert down there to raise money and to also get people to come back to the Gulf Coast. And I think it was like they gave away all the tickets. It was all free. And I don't know how he ended up donating money from that. Maybe the trick was to get people to come back.
It is a little contradictory.
And then they opened up a margarita on top of the oil that was floating on the water.
Yeah.
Before we move on from this song, I have to take issue with the lyric. Hello, Mr.
Yeah, I was
Other
gonna say,
Me.
Mr. Other Me.
Yes.
That sucks. Yeah, that sucks so much.
Wait, is the idea that he's actually there is
he's
another
a schizophrenic.
Guy?
Right. Yeah.
Except that they were drinking and smoking
yeah.
together.
We can't be schizophrenic shaming on this show, right. Tommy.
You're right.
Easy.
You're right.
Classic Tommy. Always schizophrenic.
Yeah, we got the dynamic. We did it. 2-on-1. I like it.
We won't do that when it's Tom and Tony's show.
All right, you guys attack me a little bit. That'll be fun.
I'm going to host a show with Mr. Other Me.
Oh, no. You just fall in love. let's see here. Let's hear another song. Let's yeah. hear Love and Luck live.
Yeah.
Don't ever try to change it. We're just players in this game. No one's keeping score. So have your fun. Go ahead and tell your story. Find yourself a lover who will glue you to the floor. Everybody needs a little good luck charm. A little Gregory keeps you safe from harm. Rub yours on me and I rub mine on you. Lucky couple on the avenue. With a little love and luck, you will goodbye. With a little love and luck, we'll take the sky. In this mega modern world, you've got to try. Try a little love and luck, and you'll goodbye. Collect.
Can we play the end of this one? Because I really like the end of it. The last like 30 seconds, I thought was really good. When the backup singers really get going.
Damn, I nailed it. Damn.
Yeah. She kills it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. Who was that? Do we know? Was that
you can check. There's at least one very consistent backup singer he's had yeah. for a long time, and I think that might be her.
She was great.
Yeah.
I
might even, if you said the name, I'd know it.
Yeah, the Christina Aguilera.
That might be
That's
it.
That's the only one I have.
That might be it.
Before we get any further into the show, we need to take a quick break to talk about Swifto. Swifto.com. Have you heard of it, Tommy?
Well, first of all, Swifto is what I used to call myself as a male Taylor Swift fan. But now there's a new name.
There's a new Swifto in town.
And it's a great
And it's company. More than just one guy.
And one, more than one guy who knows her address in Tribeca.
So this is for our New York listeners only, you Big Apple-eating bastards. Swifto dog walking. Hey, you got to work, and you don't have time to take that little doggy out as often as you want. You need a good dog walker, right?
You see those dogs just looking out the window like, walk me,
please, and get me out of this man's house.
Why won't he leave?
He keeps calling himself a Swifto. I don't understand. I wish we had the real Swifto here to walk me around. Swifto provides one-on-one GPS tracked dog walks. So you can make sure your dog walker isn't just lounging around your house looking through your magazines, your precious, dirty magazines,
yes.
And your little underwear drawer, you know, eating all your snacks. Did you ever walk dogs?
No, you did though, right?
Yeah, I did. And look, people ride your dogs and stuff if you're not careful. That's
Is that
why
what you were doing?
Well, I can't incriminate myself here, but look. I have some beautiful photos of me riding a Dalmatian.
You were not working for Swifto.
No, no, that's the thing. If you don't get Swifto, you're going to get a sick fuck like me walking your little pup, and you don't want that. These people are vetted. They're good dog walkers. And like I said, this is GPS tracked, so you know what's going on there. Like I said, yeah, I used to be one. Yeah, Swifto's good. Also, they offer overnight stays and pickups and drop-offs in New York City. The walks and visits can range anywhere from 20 minutes to 4 hours.
And if it lasts to 4 hours, call your doctor.
Jesus Christ. They're rated 5 stars on Yelp, and they cover all of Manhattan, Astoria, Long Island City, and Queens, and most of Brooklyn. And here's where the pod comes
Weirdly,
along.
The part of Brooklyn that they don't cover is specifically our apartment.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Which I find offensive. There's one circle around our place. If you use promo code BAND, that's B-A-N-D, all lowercase, you're going to get...
B-A-N-N-E-D, like Tom from Victoria's Secret.
Or B-A-N-N-E-D, like Tommy from Toys R Us.
God damn it.
You're going to get your first 2 walks for free. That's right. Your dog will get his steps in for the day with 2 free walks when you go to Swifto.com, put in promo code BAND. You'll be doing me and the Mac Man a little favor, a little flavor, because we get a little piece of that action, if you know what I'm talking about.
It's a great company. Sorry for all the jokes we made.
No, they love it. They're sick. The listeners, not Swifto. We love Swifto. Swifto.com for all your dog walking needs in New York City. Promo code BAND. Back to the show. All right, we're back. Thanks, Tony, for stepping away.
He didn't even want to look at us while we did that.
He couldn't look at us while we shill ourselves out.
Sellouts. Unlike Jimmy Buffett, who has never sold out.
Back to Jimmy Buffett. Before we get too far into the show, I think it's time. I've been dreading this part of the show very deeply because I feel like it's going to change the tone of the episode.
Do we have to do it?
We must do it.
All right.
We are legally
away
bound.
We are legally obligated.
Away we go.
So in addition to our thoughts on Jimmy Buffett, we also like to go to our resident snob, I'd call him, our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson.
This is Jared.
The owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic and even more beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, the co-founder of the Limestone Comedy Festival, and my dear friend. Jared likes to give us his thoughts on whatever band we're doing, and I already know this is going to be...
I know where this is
going. Going to be a rough one,
yeah.
So I just want to give you the heads up. Here is our segment, They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys somehow found a guest willing to go on the record and defend white nationalist Jimmy Buffett. I don't know if that's true, but let's just... Who cares? So, this is we may have hit rock bottom, honestly, because like there are just things that you don't even think when making an all-time worst bands, artists, songs list. Jimmy Buffett doesn't even it's like NSYNC or like MC Hammer or something where it's like you just don't take it seriously enough to even put it on a list. Like, I know that I give Bare Naked Ladies, 311, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sublime a lot of shit, but like they at least somehow made it into the realm of being graded. Jimmy Buffett is so white and terrible and just fucked up that it's not even worth even talking about. It's just, this is music for just people who just absolutely have decided that they just do not like music. And they just want some sort of like party atmosphere that it doesn't even have, music doesn't even have to be playing. Like they just want to like do the stupid like Captain Morgan pose. But like that's what Jimmy Buffett fans are. They're the Captain Morgan pose come to life and somehow gathered at a concert. I mean, this guy is so obnoxious in his regular life. He's been thrown out of like basketball games, Heat games. He's just a piece of shit all the way around. And man, this is like right on the heels of whoever it was, fucking Shaggy. I don't know, man. Fuck. Bye.
Oh my God.
That one came with a video, and it's just him decapitating a live parrot.
Yeah. He sounds like a real fun dude.
It's a video of a monkey.
Incidentally, might I go on record saying he made no critique of the music whatsoever? He had no specific issue with it.
Oh, he did get, I didn't know this. He got ejected from a Heat game. Have you heard this story?
No, what happened?
Yeah, I think he swore.
Oh, you can't do
who
that.
Who goes to a sports event and doesn't say fuck?
Yeah.
That's very funny. The Captain Morgan pose thing. You have been doing that the whole episode. In Jared's defense.
In his defense.
It was.
It's only because you didn't offer me a chair.
We don't give our guests chairs.
Maybe if some of the Swifto money comes in, we can get a third chair. Yeah. It was funny that he said that it was for people who don't like music, since you were a music major in school, right?
I have a master's degree in music.
So take that, Jared.
This is one where I kind of wish we did have Jared. Like, Jared, send in your answer to this, and then we'll talk about it maybe in another episode. So I looked up this ejection. Let's see. NBA referee Joe Forte isn't a parrot head, apparently. He ejected Jimmy Buffett from his seat along the baseline at Sunday's game between the Knicks and the Heat. He said he tossed Buffett for using profanity. He was there with his son, says Coach Pat Riley, who had a front row seat for the commotion. I don't think it was that bad. I mean, come on, a few words. The altercation delayed the game several minutes in the fourth quarter. Heat officials said Buffett, whose fans are called parrot heads, you said that twice, was escorted to another seat in the arena for the remainder of the game. He was using profanity. There was a little boy sitting next to him and a lady sitting next to him. I want to know what words he said.
This ref sucks.
Yeah, this article sucks, too. This is from the Los Angeles Times. It sounds like this guy just wasn't a parrot head.
Yeah.
I want to say about the white nationalist thing, I was like, maybe Jimmy Buffett seems like he could be in the realm of, like, Trump guys.
No, he said
the opposite.
Yeah. He's a Democrat.
He's a Dem.
He started a charity to save the manatees.
Right.
Oh, wow.
He's a Democrat. We try to stay down the middle on this show.
Oh, right. So he's, what would we call that?
A Democrat. he, over the weekend, this is, I don't know exactly.
You know who his favorite politician is? Bernie Sanders. Because of the peach. Did you hear
that? That's true. I got it. Well, I liked
it. That was
great. Let's see here. Over the weekend, singing legend Jimmy Buffett campaigned for Florida's big governor race, supporting Democrat Andrew Gillum, and even tweaked the lyrics to his song Come Monday to make his point at the Get Out the Vote rally in West Palm Beach, not far from Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago. The crooner sang, "Come Tuesday, things will change. Come Tuesday, we're making a change. It's been two insane years. Time to really switch gears."
Was this for the last midterms?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It looks like he got his ass. That's what I would say. And a lot of people tweeted at him like, hey, I used to... This one tweet, it's from this guy, PDog999. He writes, "Sorry, Jimmy Buffett. Was a loyal fan for years. Ignored the political pot shots and played them off as your gypsy soul. But no more. This longtime fan is done. It's been a lovely cruise." It's kind of beautiful.
That's well written. For a guy that's shitting
I think
on.
That was written by the other me.
Mister.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Other Me.
I'm sure Jimmy Buffett's billion-dollar fortune is really going to miss this guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of tweets like that. So he, in his defense, he's not like a white nationalist guy or whatever.
Yeah.
There is a weird thing with Jimmy Buffett, though, I would like to ask you about. Where is this weird... just be on the beach, party attitude, but also he's like such a big businessman. Like there's so many ventures.
It's a weird dichotomy. Yeah. If it had only been all the music and, you know, he just made all that money just being the dude. But yeah, there's the restaurants and that, I mean, they're opening, retirement homes.
That's the weirdest one.
That is the weirdest one.
Can we look that up? Because I'm very interested in that, and I don't know.
Yeah, I just heard about that like 6 months ago.
It's like the craziest.
And I was like, well, that is kind of how I want to spend my retirement. Oh, is at the beach. There's got a point there.
Here. So it's in Daytona Beach. It looks like a retirement community. It does not have good reviews.
Oh.
Let's see. Oh, this is not what I was hoping this was like a Google review sort of deal. They exist. All right. Retired Jimmy Buffett style to Margaritaville themed retirement community. That is such a sad sounding thing.
Yeah.
Let's
see. Bunch of old people slow dancing to Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Well, apparently, he's already purchased himself a home in the first location. Why would he need to do that?
He doesn't. He's got a home in the Hamptons.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn. The first of several planned 55 and better retirement communities will be in Daytona Beach, Florida.
I like that. Not 55 and older.
Yep, better.
55 and better.
These new communities called Latitude Margaritaville are reportedly a collaboration between Buffett's company, Margaritaville Holdings. It's hard to say Margaritaville 5,000 times in the show. And developer Minto Communities.
What if it was, and Dr. Kevorkian?
They're going to drown you in margarita and embalm you in margarita salt. It's a death to be... let's see here. Latitude Margaritaville says that their locations are inspired by the legendary music and lifestyle of singer, songwriter, and best-selling author Jimmy Buffett, and that your new home in paradise features exciting recreation, fantastic dining, and live entertainment. It'd be so great if you went to one of those restaurants. It's terrible. You were like, I thought this place was going to be fantastic. No, we promised you fantastic. Now get the fuck out.
What is his book?
He's
written a bunch of books.
Really?
Yeah. I read his biography. It was A Pirate Looks at 50.
Looks at 50. Okay.
Yeah.
Because one of the songs is A Pirate Looks at 40,
40.
Correct?
Yeah.
I see.
Yep.
Yeah, let's. Is that on the playlist here?
It's
or I think we listened
not,
to that
but
with
you can
Jones.
Find it. Yeah.
Let's see here. Latitude Margaritaville is that's those who want to grow older, not grow up. Dad, please, you said you were going to send me to college. I'm growing older. I ain't growing up, brother. Let's see. Residents of the Daytona Beach community will reportedly have access to a town square and band shell for live entertainment, a fitness center, theater, bar and restaurant, pool, tennis courts, walking trails, and access to a private beach club on the Atlantic Ocean.
Come on.
Healthcare
Tell
will
me that
also
doesn't
be provided.
Sound awesome.
It does sound. I'd like that.
I gotta
now.
Say, it does sound pretty good.
Should we all just retire?
Let's get to a home. Let's get some fake IDs.
Yeah.
Where we're 55 and older and move in. I'm growing older.
I'm getting close. You guys can be my caretakers there.
Sponge baths. It's just in cheeseburger sauce.
Ew.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Yeah, that's a
sponge bath was gross enough.
Yeah,
and
no.
Then you had to say cheeseburger sauce.
Sauce.
Apparently, I was reading an article. This is a New York Times article. Jimmy Buffett doesn't live the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Buffett awoke one morning last year in one of his many homes. He can't remember which one. God, that's such a douchey start. And a panic gripped him in his throat.
How did they know?
His new Broadway musical, Escape to Margaritaville, was coming along nicely, but something was off. It wasn't the music. They'd been careful to include a finely titrated playlist of crowd pleasers. It wasn't the book. The TV writers Greg Garcia and Mike O'Malley managed to strike a balance of goofy, accessible romantic comedy and some deep cuts for the parrot heads.
Greg Garcia?
As are called. I didn't know
that
these
like
guys.
My Name is Earl guy?
Yeah, My Name is Earl and Raising Hope. And Mike O'Malley from Shameless and a couple other things. He was big. Yes, Dear, I believe Mike O'Malley was part of. God, that show. What a show. it wasn't the casting. So what could it be? The writers were refining the characters and their motivations. He felt pretty good about that. The producers were taking great care of the show experience as well. They had decided to deluge the audience with beach balls at the end, which Mr. Buffett thought would be fun and memorable. But it wasn't that either. He searched his mind and his heart, and still nothing. In the shadow of the early morning light across his bedroom in either Palm Beach or St. Bart's or Sag Harbor or Los Angeles or Waikiki or New York, Mr. Buffett realized he needed to find the answer. And then it's just pictures of him as a boy. He's Canadian, Mr. Buffett said, meaning I guess that Mr. Nolan maybe doesn't know about tans. Get to a tanning salon, Mr. Buffett told Mr. Nolan. How could you have a bar singer beach bum in the Caribbean who wasn't tan? To me, it was essential to the part. Tourists in Margaritaville are white and turn red. You need to be tan, Mr. Nolan agreed, and relief course through Mr. Buffett's body. Phew, that was close.
This is the New York Times?
Yeah, this is a New York Times article. Wow. Yeah, I think that was the main problem with the show. But yeah, I think this is mostly about how he doesn't do all the shit that he talks about in his songs. He's sponge cake. I wonder, does he drink still? Let's see. It's too long of an article to read all of it, but I did like the tan part. That was an issue that he had with the show. Yeah, this is way too long
this
to get to.
This is a novel. Yeah.
Yeah, very
That's
long.
It's like that old great Jim Gaffigan joke about you start reading it.
Oh, yeah.
Continued on page six.
Not for me. let's hear some more music. Yeah. Let's listen to Breathe In, Breathe Out, Move On.
So this was written for Hurricane Katrina, I believe.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's about
go.
Getting over, like, tragic shit.
This is for all of us right now. That's the way you get through any difficulty in life. Breathe in, breathe out, move on. Cheap watch from the crazy man floating down canal. It doesn't use numbers and moving hands. It always just says now.
Now you may be thinking that I was had, but this watch is never wrong.
I thought I probably I took you off guard. No, yeah. I thought that was funny to end it right then.
This is good.
Just when they start talking about the hurricane.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, it was written
that.
For Katrina. Yeah. It talks about Lake Pontchartrain leaking through the door.
We're actually sponsored
I think,
by Crazy Man Watches.
That's true. Crazy Man, they don't tick.
They just say
but
now.
But they do get you dick. For women who are horny. In addition, I liked a lot of that song. They seemed a little out of key there for a little
that
bit.
That was a live one. And they actually, that wasn't him singing for Katrina. It was another, him and just like a local musician. I think another hurricane had hit the Gulf.
So they have Carolyn Jones?
Yeah. Yes. Right, yeah.
But
there's an album version of that.
I see. But yeah, I liked that. That was
a
nice little
tune.
Song.
Yeah.
In addition to going to Jared, we also
we go to someone
an even meaner.
Come on, get out of here.
We go to your grade school bully.
And now he's going to talk about you personally. It's nothing
has nothing to do with Buffett. Yeah.
Wouldn't
that be great?
We should do that one of these
episodes. You really should.
Maybe we could do it to Tim.
That'd be good.
Tim's our
That's the only
man
one
we
could
bully.
Do it to.
Yeah, I think that's it. So in addition to going to Jerry, we also go to the people who are on my Facebook friends list. And I posted, we're talking Jimmy Buff tonight on the podcast. If you got thoughts, a lot of thoughts on old Jimmy Buffs. A lot of positive thoughts on Jimmy Buffs, too.
That's good.
Ashley Hamilton, friend of the show, says Jimmy Buffett isn't music. It's a lifestyle, and it's the only lifestyle.
Oh, there you go.
Let's see. Monali Rahani, my grade school bully. No. No. He said, as a friend of mine jokingly remarked recently, Jimmy Buffett fans are deadheads who went corporate. Damn. George Corden, resident, also fellow music snob, writes, he's got 9 songs, and in concert, he plays all 9 of them. we covered that.
He's right about the second part and wrong about the first
part. Right. Yes, as we've proved today. Let's see. Somebody posted a Simpsons thing. Oh, this is good. Jeffrey McDonald wrote
porns.
Let's see. Jeffrey McDonald writes, I had a group of friends in San Diego who would go tailgate at his concerts, but they wouldn't go to the show.
I can see that. I get that.
Yeah. Wes Van Horn writes, I fucking love Jimmy Buffett. Gets a lot of shit. But some great songs. Pirate Looks at 40.
Yeah.
He Went to Paris. Come Monday. Yeah. Just easygoing boat music. Seen him in concert a few times, and it's fun. Makes me think of my dad because he loves him and once jumped on stage and got kicked out of a show. Also, I love the God's Own Drunk track from his live album. So I actually read about the God's Own Drunk thing, and apparently
that's a good story.
There's controversy,
too, right?
Yeah, because it was someone else's song, and then he got sued for using it.
I think he took it from a story, right?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Lord F. Buckley? Or
yes, that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I misunderstood. I got confused on the.
And then for a while, instead of singing that song in concert, he sang a song called "The Lawyer and the Asshole."
The Lawyer and the Asshole. I found it. I listened to a little bit of it.
I haven't even heard that song, but I know the story.
I love that he just brings his like legal
yeah.
bullshit
yeah.
into like I'm going to make this part of the show
right.
now.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't shit on people in front of 2,000 fans, what's the use?
And the guy who drove me here is a piece of shit. Dropped me off a block from my destination. He takes Uber pools in this song.
Oh, wow.
I was on Facebook. So, let's see here. Casey James Salengo, truly an American icon and inspiration.
Oh, an American icon.
Casey is my favorite.
He's the
he
best.
Wrote, was at a Margaritaville in Orlando, and someone went to the band and requested Margaritaville, and it's like, dude, they're going to get to it. Oh, our buddy John Marjalewski from Chicago says, went to see him a few years ago, and one guy in my group made out with an older woman, and another guy in my group made out with her daughter. That sounds like a story that happens a lot. He says the first guy was me, and the second guy was also me.
Wow, twist.
That's good. That's he was the other me, or Mr. Other
Mr.
Me.
Mr. Other Me.
Marjalewski Night Shyamalan.
Dave Williamson writes Icon. Let's see here.
We should get to, there were some negative ones, I think.
Oh, come on. Didn't Jared cover that enough?
Jason Goad writes.
I think there's one I wanted to read.
Yeah. I think Jared needs to breathe in, breathe out, and move on.
Jason Goad writes, many of his fans are serial sex pests and who can't hold their booze and are terrible tippers. I worked in a restaurant down the street from a concert venue. All members of the serving staff, especially the women, would try as hard as they could to get the day off. It led to witnessing an incredible amount of break room wheeling and dealing. I don't know Spicoli's song on the Fast Times at Ridgemont High soundtrack is pretty rad, though. Do you remember who it was who wrote the one that you're like?
That was the one I was talking about.
Oh, perfect.
Sex
pests
was the
sex
pests. I wanted to hear what you had to say.
Been sex pests.
That's a real broad brush they're painting with there.
Joe McMahon writes, his beer sucked.
What was his beer?
Sorry.
Landshark, I think.
Yeah, his beer does suck.
I've had Landshark.
Yeah, his beer
I
does
thought
suck.
It was good.
Ow.
It's not terrible, but yeah.
It's not a quality.
It's
shouldn't
no
be
Bon and Viv.
Exactly.
Spike Seltzer.
We're here to tell you about Bon and Viv. They'll get you.
Oh, Viv. I went very French.
You went Bon Iver. Bon Viver. Joe McMahon, I thought we would get more comments out of, to be honest, because he's a Florida man who clearly loves Buffett.
Let's get him on the phone.
He did write, he said, he's the best of humanity.
He is a good dude. I mean, raises money for charity and.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look.
Look.
When you have $1 billion, yeah, you're going to have a bunch of homes.
When
of
you
course.
Have, when you make your living off of sex pests, good time.
You're going to open a retirement home.
Of course you are. I mean, what else are you going to do?
David Twitty writes, 311 is our generation's version of him, which I think is interesting.
I disagree.
I don't know about that. John Cessna wrote, I photographed him at Wrigley for Margaritaville. Also photographed fans at the bars around the stadium. It was pretty wild. The fans all knew the crew members / roadies and were like, haven't seen you since the show in Philly, and such nice people, wow. though. So then he's got some actual fans, not just booze bags who follow him from town to town as an excuse to get all fucked up. Bobrinskoy writes, I've got thoughts. That was it. I think that's...
wasn't as bad as I thought.
There's one, or there's two more I want to read.
There's always one more.
Shannon Norman writes, a drunk guy tailgating for Jimmy Buffett tried to fight me while I was filming a segment for a local TV show I worked on at the time, and my childhood best friend says he lost his virginity at a Buffett concert when he was 16 to a woman his mom worked with. Damn.
There's a lot of men hooking up with older women
at
these
true.
Concerts.
So if you're a cougar hunter or whatever...
I went to 10 concerts, and that never happened to me. What's wrong with me?
Bree Pruitt writes, I went to a Jimmy Buffett-themed funeral once. Lots of Hawaiian shirts. Oh, there was a sing-along at the end. I think Parrothead's rival Juggalos as far as tight-knit fanaticism goes. Very good. Yeah, I love it. A Jimmy Buffett-themed funeral. Yeah. You could live a whole Jimmy Buffett-themed life. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You could go, I mean, I'm sure you could have a birth thing. Like, you could be named Jimmy or something. It's like, it's after Jimmy Buffett. Then you go to the restaurants for every birthday. You go to the concerts. You have the retirement home, and then you have the funeral.
Yeah, birth Man. To death.
That's the saddest fucking thing I've ever thought of in my life. And maybe it's beautiful. Let's hear. Have we heard Living Since Saturday Night?
Nope.
Let's hear.
We haven't heard that, and we haven't heard Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season. We'll do that one last.
Let's hear those two. Okay. The girl's right out of high school? Is that what he says?
Yes.
Yeah, and then he says 15 will get you 20. I was listening to it on the way over. I'm like, this might have been another bad choice for the playlist. If he stopped playing the Let's Get Drunk and Screw song, he probably stopped playing Livingston Saturday Night.
Yeah, maybe he changed the lyrics to that.
Yeah.
He's like 25 and up. yeah, that's quite a line. Fun little riff there in the middle. I liked it.
Yeah. Plus, we heard trumpets this time.
That's true.
We've heard a lot of instruments tonight.
Yeah, a lot of instruments getting played.
Brass.
There was some sax in
steel,
that one.
Steel,
yeah,
some
yeah.
saxophone.
Not too shabby. Let's hear... Trying to Reason.
Is this the last song?
With Hurricane Season.
I think this might be...
Did we miss one?
I'm sure... Let's see. I think we heard all of these.
Yeah, yeah, I think we did.
All right. Let's hear this one.
This is my favorite one.
Squalls out on the Gulf Stream. Big storms coming soon. Passed out in my hammock. Got to slept till way past noon. Stood up and tried to focus. I hoped I wouldn't have to move far. Sure could use a Bloody Mary. So I stumbled over to Louie's backyard. And now I'm mine. Confess, I could use some rest. this pace very long. Yes, it's quite insane. Think it hurts my brain, but it cleans me out, then I can go on. Something about a Sunday, it's the most peculiar grave. Strolling down the avenue that's known as A1A. Feeling tired, and then I got inspired. Hell, I knew that it wouldn't last long. And all alone, I walked back home, sat on my beach, and there I made up this song. And now I must confess, I could use some rest.
Trying to reason with hurricane season.
We had a harmonica in that one.
It's pretty fun. I do take issue with the line, so I stumbled over to Louie's backyard. Then I went over to Aziz's to see him get hard. I thought,
yeah, that's. I mean, it's 2019. Come on, guys.
He says, "I must confess, he was at Skankfest."
That's funny.
Very relevant.
Well, we're at the point where Tony, we get to hear you get the floor. You have to say anything you want to say about Jimmy Buffett before we get into our ratings and everything. So you have the floor as long as you want.
Before we get into the ratings?
We do a rating of the playlist. Oh. Yeah.
So this is your last chance.
It doesn't matter what we say.
It truly doesn't matter.
Yeah. And you get to rate it as well out of six.
I like it with six as an option.
Yeah.
Five's not enough. We need just a
we
few
need
more
six.
gradations through there. Yeah, I love Buffett. I think he's a better musician than he gets credit for, because most people, and I'm putting Jared in this list,
oh, shit.
Have only heard 9 or 10 of those songs,
yeah.
And he bases his entire opinion on those. I agree. They're overplayed. They're not the greatest songs, but he's a phenomenal musician. He's got 30 albums. He's got, you know, 50 years in this business. If you can't find a Jimmy Buffett tune that you like, then I say you don't like music.
Damn. I will say I liked a lot of this music. I don't know.
Since we rate out of six, we have to decide what are the six we're rating.
Right. Because we do out six because of the six songs.
Oh, okay.
It's just a random number we picked.
We'll take out the George Strait, and then we have to take out one more from the rating. So this is your choice.
Oh, yeah. All right.
What do you think we wouldn't like, basically?
I'm going to take Livingston Saturday Night
out.
Well,
terrible choice. you fucked up, Tony.
Big mistake.
That was my favorite lyric.
You don't know Tommy if you thought he didn't like that lyric.
It feels a little weird. I don't want this podcast. Get a new hashtag.
Tommy was only mad that he didn't go lower.
Yeah, 15 will get you $20 on Venmo from me.
I was listening to one of you guys' podcasts, and you're talking about between 2 and 3 was somebody's ideal age.
Yeah, that sounds like this podcast.
Yeah. That was their preferred age of lady.
Well, you need a window.
Right, you do. I mean, you gotta
crawl through
range.
To the nursery.
Do you have it? Let me look at it again.
Yeah. So here's the playlist. You already cut out Stars in the Water, so it's the
because that's a George Strait tune. You know what? I put them all on there. I couldn't even narrow it down to the I'll cut out Livingston Saturday Night.
All right. Well, in that case, 2. No. I think I'm going to go, 4 out of 6. I enjoyed this more than I imagined.
More than you expected,
would.
Right?
Yes. I will say you did
That's
a good job
I
of
wanted.
Picking songs that I did enjoy. I liked the Great Filling Station hold-up song. 12-Volt Man had some fun stuff. And what I'm going to not support Katrina.
Come on.
What am I, a piece of shit?
What a monster, are you?
But no, there was more to this than I expected to be good. I still think he's an interesting man who's too rich, probably, but still, yeah. What do you think, Magman?
I will say, I think you did a great job of showing the range, which I did not know at all. I had one idea of what he was, and I thought there was a lot of genre variety that I wasn't expecting. Yeah. And as you pointed out, instrument variety that I really was picturing: steel drums, guitar, you know, like that.
Drums, singer.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much that was it. So I was, that harmonica was very nice. And I liked Love and Luck a lot. I thought that one was great. I liked When the Coast is Clear. I like Trying to Reason.
Yeah, I liked Trying to Reason more than I thought I would.
I'm going to go 3.5 out of 6. I did enjoy it.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. Now, but what do you rate this playlist?
I'm with you. I give it 4 out of 6.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right.
It was hard. Like, I've got my favorites, and I put a couple of them on here, but I got to show variety. I got to show the 50 years. Yeah. I got to do a couple of things in here.
Yeah, I want to give you some credit for
30
for
albums.
Putting,
is insane.
Yeah, that
it's crazy.
Crazy.
And we could go through there, and we would all agree with Jared if we picked a different playlist.
No, I found some songs that I would definitely agree with Jared on. But
yeah,
I
of
also,
course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, that's what I mean. You did a good job of picking a variety of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to dock you one for sending too many songs, so down to 3. And then
we are going to dox you also.
And we are also to dox you. So if you just leave us your address on
well,
your
we
way
we already
out.
Gave my neighborhood in the early.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the beginning of the doxing?
Yeah, where are you from, man?
Is there anything you'd like to promote? We're putting this out on Wednesday.
I do have a new album coming out. It will not be available on Wednesday.
That is
okay. What'd you pay your host? What'd you pay the host?
Let's see. You know what? The club paid the host. I didn't throw him any extra bones.
Damn.
But
I owe Tommy a public apology.
He just moved to New York City. His name's Vishal, and if you see him around, that was the guy that happened to host the night.
We have to edit
this
part out.
Can I tell you the quick story about... It's interesting. I've done 2 albums in a row that have been sort of concept albums.
Ooh, interesting.
Because, you know, there's a gazillion comedy albums.
Sure.
And so I've tried to do something different, and I hadn't figured out this. My last album was called Comedy Road Trip, 20 Jokes in 20 Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and cool. I recorded each track in a different city.
Ah, that's interesting.
And they were, like, I was opening for Kathleen Madigan at the time, so some of the tracks are big, giant 2,000-seaters, and one was a coffee shop in Charlottesville, Virginia. So the cool thing is it's if you listen to it, especially with headphones on, each track sort of like you can feel the room get bigger and smaller depending on whether it's a club or the little venue or the theaters. So that was fun.
That's really cool.
And then this album, I got hired to do, you know, Helium Comedy Club?
Mm-hmm.
Love Helium.
Love Helium. They do this show called Stand Up Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't announce who the headliner is.
Yes.
And they hired me to go up to Buffalo and do it on a Wednesday night. The weather was shitty. I was like, there's going to be 30 people here, if I'm lucky. Got there and it sold out.
Oh.
And they're like, well, we've never done this before at this club.
Yeah.
And what happens, that first time they do it, the audience assumes it's someone famous.
Yeah, of course. They're like, Jim Gaffigan's going to be here.
Yeah. So it's
had to
sold
keep it
out.
Right.
The manager comes in and he goes, hey, I just heard someone in the lobby go, do you think it's Chris Rock? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm about to walk out here and disappoint 350 people.
Yep.
And so I start having a panic attack, and I was like, well, I have to address it. I can't just walk out there and start telling jokes.
Yeah.
So I wrote some jokes real quick about not being the guy.
Sure.
And the show was amazing. Front to back, just murdered.
Yeah.
And I decided, okay, if they hire me to do this again, because I was getting close to recording an album anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring all my recording equipment, record it. So they hired me to do it in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey, Good Nights.
Yeah.
Great club. Yeah.
So I brought my equipment. Same thing happened. Uh-huh. And so the album's called Secret Headliner.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I got those jokes at the beginning about, you know, not being the guy.
That's great. That's a great concept.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was
well,
fun.
I'm excited to hear it, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it should be out in the next month or so.
Amazing. Hell yeah. Awesome. Tommy, what you got?
Just check my website. I'm in New York the next couple months. Got some shows. Yeah. Come to those.
I will be in Michigan at the time that this comes out at the Soaring Eagle Casino. And the next night I will be in, I believe, Muskegon or something like that.
Muskegon.
Yeah. Yes, I will be there.
That's out on the lake.
Yes, so I will be there at Back Alley, I believe. And then I will be in Montreal doing an hour at the end of July. Come see that. It's part of JFL. It's at the Montreal Improv. And besides that, yeah, I'll be in D.C. coming up. Check out the dates on my website and on Twitter and shit. Check out the Patreon. We got some fun shit up there. And rate and review the pod. We love it. I read a bunch of nice tweets today. I hadn't looked at the Twitter in a minute, and I looked through it. It put me in a good mood. It got me excited to do the pod. So do that more. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.